will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. My name is Scott Stonehouse. It is good to be with you. I've been here a few times over the past few years, so I recognize many of you. It's good to be with you again. I drive by this church a few times each week, and it's always a reminder to pray for Steneric and Lisa, who are friends of ours, and for this body. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of spiders, snakes, heights, flying, public speaking, that someone will attack you, that you'll lose your job, that your retirement savings won't last, being alone, cancer, dying? What are you afraid of? When I was a kid, I was always smaller than everyone else, like always. And so I feared that someone would hurt me. As I got older, I was afraid that no girl would ever love me. Eventually, I got married and we had kids, and then I feared that something bad would happen to one of my kids. It is amazing to me how long and how much fear has been a part of my life, even though I don't consider myself an anxious person. Like, I'm not a worrier. If you talk to anyone and ask them about Scott Stonehouse, they would say, oh yeah, pretty level, steady guy. In fact, my lack of worrying has led to friction in my marriage at times when my wife has said, Scott, you should be more worried about this. And yet, fear has been and is a part of my life. How much of your life is influenced by fear? We live in a fallen world where there is real evil and real danger. We know that we will face various trials and tribulations in our lifetimes. Therefore, I don't think it's unusual. I don't think it's irrational for us to sometimes be afraid. In fact, there are some things that we should be afraid of. Fear is a God-given emotion. It protects us. It warns us. And yet, it can control us and enslave us. It can rob us of our hope and joy and cause us to doubt God. And that's where it goes wrong. And that is not from the Lord. So this series that began last week is called Lent, A Season of Pouring Out. And this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 27. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And we're going to look at how David responded to a difficult situation in his life, how he poured out his prayer of faith, of praise, and fears to God. We're going to see how David courageously chose to trust God and how we can too. Because courage is not the lack of fear. It is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So let me give you just a very high-level overview of the psalm itself, and then we'll jump in. The first three verses, we're going to see David's confidence in the Lord. Verses 4 through 6 are the first part of David's prayer. And then there's a shift in his prayer. Verses 7 through 12 are the second part of his prayer. And then verses 13 through 14, again, we're going to see David's confidence in the Lord. So that's kind of an overview. That's where we're going this morning. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, begin with this beautiful expression of David's confidence in the Lord. Let me read these verses. It says, and I'm, by the way, I'm reading from the ESV, so if it sounds a little bit different from whatever translation you're using, that's why. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Now, David was both a poet and a warrior king. He fought in many battles. He pursued other people pursued him. And I point this out because I don't think we should assume that the language in this psalm about armies and war is figurative. Right there, there are many examples in David's life where he was actually surrounded by armies and war was imminent. And yet, what David says, despite these circumstances, is, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? He says, my heart shall not fear, yet I will be confident. David's confidence, however, is not in his own skills and abilities. His confidence is not in how many men he has with him or what kind of weapons they have. His confidence is in the Lord. When you are afraid, what do you depend on for confidence? Now pause before you answer that, okay? I know we're in church, and I just read David's answer, and so the temptation is just instinctively say, well, my confidence is in the Lord. And I just want to ask, is it really? Like, is that really where your confidence is? The Lord is, unfortunately, not always my first option. Often, my first option is myself. What can I do about this scary thing that I'm facing? Can I learn jujitsu or buy a gun to protect myself? Can I eat healthier food and wear sunscreen so I don't get cancer? Can I save more money in my 401k so it won't run out when I can no longer work? By the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with learning jujitsu, owning guns, wearing sunscreen, eating healthy food, or saving more money, right? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. What's wrong is that that's my first move. When I'm afraid, I tend to depend on myself. And more often than I like to admit, God is an alternative option for me when I can't figure it out myself. What about you? David was a man who had a heart like God, and therefore his confidence was in the Lord. And I want to become more like David. Don't you? Well, after stating his confidence in the Lord, David enters into the first part of his prayer. Let me read verse 4. It says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David's going to ask for many things in this psalm. But in saying one thing I have asked of the Lord, he's highlighting the most important thing. And when he says he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord, he doesn't mean that he wants to live in the tabernacle. What David means, what he's asking for, is fellowship with God. Intimate friendship. He wants to always be in the Lord's presence. He wants to always be thinking about God. That is the most important thing to David. What is the one thing that you would ask from the Lord? Would it be healing for some sickness or disease that you have? Would it be a job, a spouse, kids? Solomon asked for wisdom. And I think all of these examples are good and right things that we can pray for and that we can ask for. But what David gets right is his prioritization. And I want to have a heart like that, that can pray for the things that I need and desire, but that wants fellowship with God more. I want to be able to say, Lord, I want you to heal me. But more than that, I want to love you and know you. Lord, I need a job. But more than that, I want to be in your presence. Lord, I want fill in the blank for you. But what you want more than that is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. It reminds me of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you might be familiar with that one. In the book of Daniel, ancient Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar builds this large golden idol. And he demands everyone to bow down to it or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. These three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, refuse to bow down, which infuriates King Nebuchadnezzar. He warns them again, if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. Here's what it says, Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. For those three men, they were confident that God could save them, but even if God didn't save them, they weren't going to bow down. To them, faithfulness was more important than deliverance. And I want to have a faith like that, a faith where faithfulness and fellowship with God is more important to me than deliverance from whatever scary, difficult situation I'm facing. I think that kind of heart gives us confidence in those difficult situations. I think we see that in verses 5 and 6, after expressing his one desire, what he really wants from the Lord, to dwell in his presence, David expresses his confidence again. He says, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Despite the opposition he faces, despite his circumstances, David is confident that the Lord will protect and deliver him. And because of that, he's going to praise the Lord. That's what it says in the last half of verse 6. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. David's confidence and his praise are wrapped up in and they flow out from his fellowship with the Lord. And so does ours. Do you struggle to trust God? Do you struggle to worship God? If you do, and there have been times that I have, I would encourage you to look first at your fellowship with God. Do you pray? Do you pray often? Do you pray regularly? Our fellowship with God is built on our prayers to God. The purpose of this sermon is not to give tips on prayer, and I'm not a prayer expert, although I like to think of myself as a prayer enthusiast. Like I want to be a prayer person. But if you want to grow in your prayer life and you need some basic help, let me give you three quick tips. Basic help in prayer, okay? That's what I'm qualified to do, basic help, not advanced. Three quick tips. One, pick a time. Two, have a list. Three, pray out loud. One, pick a time. Associate when you're going to pray with something you're already doing every day, like make coffee or go for a walk or before I go to bed. Something you're already doing, associate, connect it with that. It will make it easier for you to remember to do it. Two, have a list. Have a short list of people or things that you want to talk to God about. It will make it easier to pray rather than trying to remember what to pray about in the moment. And then three, pray out loud. Sounds silly, but it makes it easier not to get distracted if you're actually talking out loud than when you're just talking in your head. Now, I'm not asking these questions or making these suggestions as a way of shaming any of us. Far from it. I'm asking and suggesting these things because I believe our trust and our worship are built on our fellowship with God, and our fellowship with God is built on our prayer life. I'm also not trying to shame us in our struggles because I think what we're going to see in the next several verses is that we often waver in our confidence and trust in the Lord. So look at verses 7 through 12, and as I read them, I want you to see how David's confidence seems to turn into anxiety. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Do you hear that? David is crying out to God, don't ignore me. Don't turn away from me. Don't cast me off. Don't forsake me. Don't give me over to my enemies. This does not sound like the same confident tone we heard in verses 1 through 6. So what's going on? What's going on with David? I think what is going on is that David, this man after God's own heart, is human. And that is incredibly encouraging to me. We are weak creatures. One minute we can be confident and praising God, and the next we're in despair and asking God, where are you and do you really love me? And do you know what else is incredibly encouraging to me? Jesus understands this. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are those not some of the greatest verses in the Bible? Jesus understands what it means to be human. He knows that we are weak, which is why we need to draw near to the throne of grace and receive mercy and help regularly. And we can do that with confidence because of our fellowship with Jesus Christ. When we do that, when we remind ourselves of our fellowship with the Lord, when we come with our needs to the throne of grace and ask for mercy, often, not always, but often, our confidence is restored. And that's what we see in the last couple of verses of this psalm. Verses 13 and 14 say, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. After this wave of doubt or anxiety washes over him, and that's often what happens, right? These emotions, they're waves and they move on. But after this, what David ends up with is his confidence that he will see the goodness of God. Not after he's dead and with the Lord, but here, now, in the land of the living. I think the key, however, is the last verse, because it shows us how David got there. What David is doing is he's reminding himself, he's instructing himself about what is true, even though he might not feel it. Have you ever done that? Had a conversation with yourself? Like, Scott, pull it together. You can handle this, Scott. Or, Scott, Jesus loves them too. You know, maybe, you know, you're telling yourself something that you know is true, that you believe is true, you just don't feel in the moment. That's what David is doing. Be strong and let your heart take courage. He's telling himself to be strong because he doesn't feel strong. He's telling his heart to have courage because he's afraid. And we can do the same thing. Having some scripture memorized or written down where it's easily accessible, where you can see it, can be an incredible help when you're facing difficult situations, when you're dealing with hardships. I mean, can you imagine facing a difficult, scary situation and reminding yourself about some of the things we've already read this morning? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or how about, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you think that would be helpful? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Here's a few others that we didn't cover. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or how about the 23rd Psalm? Or there are hundreds and hundreds of examples of verses that you could use that would strengthen you. Because the Holy Spirit will use His Word to encourage your heart when you remind yourself of it. I began by asking you, what are you afraid of? I want to begin to end by changing that question slightly to ask something much more important. What should you be afraid of? There are certainly many real dangers that come to mind, but there is one ultimate danger that surpasses them all, and that is judgment. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. What the Bible teaches is that we will all stand before God. It also teaches that all of us are guilty. We have committed moral crimes against God and we deserve judgment. We deserve to be cast into hell. And that is very bad news, right? Very bad news. Therefore, we should fear death in God's judgment. But the Bible also teaches that Jesus, the Son of God, the holy and sinless one, took our place. He died the death that we deserve. His sacrifice satisfied the wrath of God and makes a way for us to be forgiven. And that is very good news. Pastor Mike quoted from Romans 10 last week, verses 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." For those who have trusted Jesus, we no longer need to fear death, because Jesus has conquered death. He has died and been raised from the dead, and he promises that we also will be raised to eternal life with him. We no longer need to fear the judgment of God because Jesus has purchased our forgiveness and our adoption as sons and daughters by his blood. We can have confidence because of our fellowship with Jesus. Do you have that confidence? If not, would you like to? I would love to talk to you about it after the service if you've got questions. In closing, we can learn a lot about trusting God from David in this psalm. We can learn that our confidence should be in God, and that our confidence should be rooted in and flow from our fellowship with God, which results in our pouring out our praise and worship to God. But we can also learn that we should be gracious to ourselves when we waver and doubt, knowing that we are weak. We don't need to be ashamed of that. We don't need to hide that. We can pour out our fears and our doubts to God in prayer. We can remind ourselves of biblical truth, like Jesus intercedes for us, that we can approach his throne of grace with confidence, for grace and mercy and help in our time of need. Though we will encounter many difficult situations in life, we have no need to fear when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I thank you first for your word, which is good and true. Lord, help us to not only believe it, help us to remember it. Lord, I thank you for Jesus and what he has done. And Lord, I thank you for these people here. I pray that you would encourage their heart. Help them to wait for the Lord. Lord, help them to encourage their hearts when they are faced with difficult situations. Lord, help me. Help all of us to want fellowship with you more than we want deliverance. But Lord, we do ask that you will help us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.